The workday is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Quinn and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Quinn Jr.
You know what? It fits in line with your like of sports.
And Chris Ello.
Kind of rooting for you in the Fantabulous Sports Game Show until a moment ago. Now I hope you get your butt wiped again.
Oh, whoa. That means something else.
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Quinn and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. We reach the middle of another week here on 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Denver with the Padres at Coors Field. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios, getting rolling here on a 2.5 hour get-together ahead of Sam Levitt's Padre pregame show, and then tonight, Game 3 of the Padres-Rockies series. Tony Gwynn Jr., I have three words for you to start today's show. The first word is Brendan. The middle word I can't say on live radio. And the third word is Rogers. Like, really? Brendan? Rogers? Yeah. That was the last guy I thought was hitting a grand slam in that spot yesterday. He has been struggling, really, ever since he came back from injury last July. And I'm sure Michael King wishes he had that 0-2 fastball back.
Yeah. Not ideal. Certainly, it's one of those weird Colorado specials right there. You know, your team is team is rolling along, you're getting your hits. You got a lot of them.
Yeah.
You're able to put some early runs up, and then in one big inning, it evaporates. It's gone. And Padres offensively really didn't do anything after, you know, they scored their five runs or whatever it was earlier in that ball game. And we talk about that all the time, adding on. Certainly when you get a jolt like that and you kind of never recover, it seemed like last night for the Padres.
Yeah, I don't know what surprised me more, Brendan Rodgers hitting a grand slam on an 0-2 pitch or the fact that the Padres went scoreless in five innings against the Colorado bullpen. Rockies bullpen, easily one of the worst in all of Major League Baseball. But I must say, give a little credit to the left-hander, Jalen Beeks, who came out of the bullpen, pitched three shutout scoreless innings last night, kept the Padres at bay.
Hitless innings.
Yeah, hitless, right. He walked one, struck out two, and kind of set the table for Colorado. I mean, here's how bad the Rockies have been this year. Justin Lawrence came in for the save in the ninth inning, Tony. It was not just his first save of the year. It was his first save opportunity of the year. Yeah. I mean, he hadn't even been in a position to get a save all season. But as you like to say, you got to just flush that one and go back to work today. Three out of four is still going to be very acceptable in this series.
Yeah.
And you can put the memory of last night right behind you by turning the page tonight and going back to work against the Rockies. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed, but I'm going to only really be disappointed if they lose another one there. You know, then I'll be,
The schedule doesn't allow for you to fret too much about the previous night. I mean, you're right back in the saddle again here, 6:40. It's time to go play again. And so,
it
sucks, right? Because the game started off so well. I mean, Michael King was just kind of rolling along, and then he wasn't. And so it sucks from that standpoint. But, you know, you got to get back on the horse, and tonight you get another shot. You win tonight, you got a chance to take that three or four, but you got to win the first one tonight.
Right.
And, you know, after a clean ball game yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah, it wasn't clean last night, right, Tony? You said
the ground ball to Crone opens the door for that inning to continue because, you know, I think part of the reason why he made the error was because I think he was going to try to turn two. And I think they had a shot to do it. That would have ended the inning. Instead,
yes, it would.
It's an error. It's an error, and all of a sudden, the Devy, the levee breaks, and then, you know, it's, you know, you're looking up a grand slam later, you're down. And so, again, the Pods are a very talented team, but they don't have a huge margin for error.
Right.
And I think that was a good example of it last night.
I think the one statistic that comes out of that error that was made by Cronenworth, and if you think I'm going to sit here and, you know, be critical of a player for making an error, you know, wait, because I'm not going to do it. It's ridiculous. Errors are part of the game. But the one area that the Padres have struggled in this year is their pitchers, you know, kind of covering for those errors that have been made. The Padres have now given up 19 unearned runs this year, and that's third most in baseball. And we talked about that, Tony. It's not always the error. It is, obviously. If it didn't happen, the inning would have been over, like you said. But it's what happens after the error that matters. Right. And the Padres need to do a better job of their pitchers picking up their fielders in situations like that. I'm sure Michael King would be the first to say it.
That's a great point. That's because it's not, yes, the defender makes the error, right, no doubt about it. But, you know, you're going to have to sometimes pick up your defender. In that case, it was Crone, who was probably the most shorthanded dude you have on the infield. Oh, my Lord, that scared the bejesus out of me.
What happened? What happened?
Uh-oh. He did look out of the corner of his eye very scared. What happened?
I was just sitting there looking out the window, and a young lady goes by, like, outside the window. So, I didn't know what was going on for a second.
Wait, what?
Because you're elevated?
She's running some wires, I believe, from the TV side to the other side. But, like, it just was just outscaling the wall there for a second. At least I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
I really was not ready.
Reminds
I don't
me,
even know where I was at.
Reminds me of the line.
What was I even talking about?
Reminds me of the line that's Lois Lane told Superman back in the day in the original when Superman grabbed her from falling out of space, and he said, "Don't worry, ma'am, I've got you." And she looked at him and said, "I know, but who's got you?" Because she didn't know Superman.
Right.
She didn't know he could fly yet. So he was like, "Wait, who's got you?" So, stop it. Stop it. But yes, this lady basically sounds like she appeared where she wasn't supposed to.
Yes. So I don't know what my train of thought was.
You were going
so
with the pitching staff picking up the fielders.
Yeah, sometimes they got to be able to pick up the fielder there. Yesterday just kind of it was a weird game yesterday, for sure.
Well, the Rockies
definitely very Coors Field.
Yeah, they got a check swing base hit by Nolan Jones, and that's about the only kind of hit he can get these days, unfortunately, for that struggling young man. They also got a foul ball double from Elias Diaz. I don't know why we can't replay these things.
It wasn't Elias Diaz.
It wasn't Diaz. Who was that? I thought it was Diaz.
It was yesterday. Oh, it was Montero. Would have been Doug Eddings. It would have been Doug Eddings. Yesterday.
Doug Eddings made the call.
Yeah,
but
he's
talking
about
Elias,
the play.
Yeah,
I believe Elias Diaz hit the ball.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a ground ball. It certainly looked foul. Eggy Rosario, you know, was arguing a pretty decent case, and then they showed the replay. And I know that if the ball goes over any part of the bag, it's a fair ball, but it bounced in foul territory not only before the bag, but after the bag. So that makes it almost geometrically impossible, or, you know, physics impossible for
that
to ball to get over
the bag.
Wait, that
was the second one, though. That was the second one. The first one, Wade was still in the game. And he was the one arguing, because that's the one that was like a chopper. That one was, I believe, Diaz's.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, it was some weird stuff happening over there last night.
If I'm not mistaken, I'll go back and pull up my scorecard.
Pull up your colorful scorecard.
There was two of them. Certainly, you had the one with Rosario late with Diaz, but there was one earlier in the game that Wade kind of had the same issue. This ball was chopped, and we saw the replay. It literally bounced foul to begin with.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay, right. Yeah. There was two of them down there. But
there
It was a strange night. I mean, the Padres had like 10 hits by the third inning. And, you know, unfortunately they had four runs. You know, Jackson Merrill did it again. Another two-out RBI single. He's leading baseball in hitting on the road. I mean, you know, while all of this is going on, he continues to have an April for the ages. We're coming up on the end of the month. He's got to be the rookie of the month in the National League, but that's neither there based on we're concerned about.
I 100% agree that I 100% agree he should be, you know, I mean, we got another 5-6 days. He should 100% be Rookie of the Month. He is so much fun to watch. But I do say, can we please stop bringing up the fact that he's leading the league and hitting on the road? Like, okay. That's not really a real thing. They've played 14 games on the road. I mean, an 0-for-4 all of a sudden, I mean, he would be
in 12th place.
Right. Let's get a little bit deeper into the season before we start going with, like, road statistics. I've heard that the last couple of days in terms of it being mentioned quite a bit. But
I was actually just about to say, did you guys know he's hitting on the road?
You were just going to tell us that?
Here's my bone to pick with you guys.
What do you got?
Why can't we just have fun with it? Why can't it be a number that we talk about? Why can't we buy into it?
Okay, well then, fine. Let's do that on everything then. Why are we just hand picking this particular number?
Because it's good.
Something.
There's a lot of good things you can do, but we usually pick our spots when we want to be pessimists and we want to be like over the top. I'm just saying, like, it's a 14 game. It's not like a real statistic.
I understand that the sample size is small because, you know, he's only had, what, how many at-bats on the road? Maybe 50, 60 at-bats on the road?
Not even that many.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, well, everybody out there, just disregard that stat when you see it.
No, I think it's a fair stat, but we got to take it in with a grain of salt.
I get it. Right,
Because yesterday I listened to Sam, like, beat himself up for not knowing that he was leading road statistic. Like, he was beating himself up. I'm like, brother, it's okay. Like, it's been 13 games on the road. It's fine.
I'm going to have to talk to Sam later about that.
You don't need to beat yourself up over it.
Just like the Padres don't need to beat themselves up over losing a game to the hapless Rockies. As mentioned, they'll try it again tonight. Matt Waldron will be on the hill for the Rocks. I don't know the physics of how a knuckleball works in thin air.
I just was about to ask.
Oh, were you going to? Really? That's why your hand was up?
I did an Instagram live this morning at the dog park, and we got on the subject of how a knuckleball dances in the rarefied air of Denver.
I saw that.
Yeah? Well, we'll all find out together.
The Instagram live chat?
Yeah. No, I saw you tap in from the dog park.
Why don't you join in and like say hi?
It was still too early. I was still kind of getting myself together.
Okay, well, at least you noticed. That's nice. Thank you.
All right, Waldron, Ty Black, a lefty called up from the minor leagues. I don't know if it's going to be a bullpen day for the Rockies or if they're going to try to get 4 or 5 innings out of him, but lefty starts tonight for Colorado, and like I said, we'll have the pregame show coming up shortly, and then game time 5:40 this afternoon for the Friars and the Rocks. Coming up on the program today, Bernie Wilson from the Associated Press, the only guy in San Diego is more negative than I am, so we're looking forward to having him on the show.
Is that how he wants to be introduced?
He probably doesn't mind being introduced that way. I don't know whether he wants to be, but I don't know that he minds being. Daily Gambit Big Five, Chris vs. the Fans. We're on the eve of the NFL draft. We will have some thoughts on that. Don't forget tomorrow our live coverage from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock here on 97.3 The Fan with myself, Scraby, and Braden. But more Gwen and Chris is what's in store next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
$3.20. Ooh, that Coke is strong. Coca-Cola, that is. $3.20.
Well, I hate to say it, but if he doesn't make a promo out of that, I don't know what he'll ever
do. Tony, we are on the air, bro.
I think you got to play. I think you got to play that promo along with me saying that he'll get an escort to the Nuggets game.
Man,
the other day, I think we can get both of those things in one promo.
He's living large over there.
Wow. I'm sorry. The Coca-Cola was strong. Yeah, I just cracked it open. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I meant 320 here in Denver. 220.
Oh, darn it. I was hoping that we had advanced.
Yeah, you know, you're not that close to getting off the air.
Not
there,
quite
buddy.
Yet, no.
So a couple of things going around Major League Baseball. Blake Snell, who is supposed to start today, goes on the IL with an abductor. And I don't know if you guys remember, that's the one that kept him out twice here in San Diego, that kind of growing area there. He's going to be sidelined there for a little bit.
You know, everybody's got to find a reason and an excuse for all of this. I mean, honestly, I am not thrilled that this is happening to Blake Snell. He's one of my favorite guys
in
baseball. Well, I get the feeling a lot of Padre fans are really happy. You know, not personally, but just the fact that he has moved on and is struggling the way he is and now goes on the injured list. But I don't want this to happen to anybody, but everybody's got to explain this. You know, what's happened to Blake Snell? Yeah. Is it as simple as saying that it's because he has Scott Boras as his agent, and as a result, he didn't get a full spring training, and so he rushed himself back? I don't know that you can necessarily link all of this stuff to that, but people seem to be doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we are, Chris. I think that's, you know, everybody's got a podcast. Everybody has some type of breakdown that they need to do on it. And, you know, it could be that he got hurt because he didn't have a spring training. It also could be because his abductor is not where it needs to be. I mean, this isn't the first time
he's had
this injury. So, yeah, maybe he's got some imbalances. Who knows? The bottom line is he's hurt for now. He'll have to get healthy first before he can help the Giants out again. Meanwhile, you know, if I'm being honest, it's not a bad thing for the Padres, who are in the same division, that I have a Blake Snell going for the Giants. That being said, I don't think anybody should want anybody to be hurt. But
yeah, but I think people are comfortable with this news here in San Diego. I will, before you tap dance and celebrate Blake Snell's demise, just remember he was 1-6 with a 5.40 ERA last May 19th. And we know how that turned out.
Dang, he got that many starts already. He only been back a couple weeks.
No wonder he's hurt.
Yeah, right. No, that was last year, Blake Snell.
That was last year.
He was pretty bad, and he ended up pretty good. So,
Cy Young, you never can tell. Recall.
That's right. And I recall as well.
I think, Chris, fans aren't happy to see him doing poorly. But I think fans are happy the Padres didn't spend the money on him, because if he was doing poorly on this team.
As a result, they're happy. But believe me, every time Josh Hader coughs up a game,
well, that's a whole different story.
Why is that a whole different story? Because they don't like Josh Hader?
Yeah.
And they should like Blake Snell?
Well, they do like Blake Snell.
I think in general, you root against guys that leave your team. I think that's just human nature.
I think that's a definite for you know, us here in San Diego.
Yeah, because we feel some type of way about everybody leaving here going on to greatness. I mean, you know, the list of people that have done so is rather lengthy.
We do feel some type of way about it, let's be honest.
So, I mean, it's the most annoying thing in the world.
That's what I'm saying. When the opposite happens, we feel a little better
about it. I'm trying to think of a player who just completely went the other way when they left. Like, it's not coming to
me. We never remember those. We only remember the guys that left and became superstars. So that's kind of, again, that's human nature. So
very true. I hear no lies. Where else do you guys want to go? No, I don't. We can't go there. We got to save that for, I believe, a big five later.
Cody Bellinger? hurt as well.
So he got some fractured ribs. Did he get hit by a pitch?
I saw him bang into the wall, chasing into the ivy. Ball bounced out of his glove.
That ivy's not padded.
It's
tricky.
There's a wall right behind it, and there's not much ivy there at this time of year.
It's a very thin, fake padded wall.
Yeah, so I believe that's what happened to Cody.
Oh, man, he must have ran into that bad boy pretty hard.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a story for him. You know, I think the other thing in baseball right now, Tony, is this, you know, Blake Snell notwithstanding, but...
Oh, wait, time out. He ran into the center field wall. There's no pad there. That's all brick.
That's what I mean. Yeah, center field wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's understandable.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I commend him. No, I hope nobody's going to ever sit here and say that he ain't out there playing hard. The dude ran into a literal brick wall to catch a baseball.
That is pretty crazy to run into a brick
wall. I just want you to think about that for a sec. Every stadium, pretty much with the exception of Boston and Wrigley, are pretty much like, you know, new age padded walls. He ran hard enough into brick, because I know it's April 21st, so I know there is no green anywhere near that that wall. It's all sticks and bricks.
And bricks. Sounds like a Snoop Dogg song. I've been scared about Fernando jumping into the wall the last couple games.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie. And those have been padded walls. I'm not gonna lie. I've had the same thought go across my mind as he went in close to the.
Yes, I would have much rather him just territory. Watch that ball bounce rather than diving in there and getting caught up in the netting like a fish yesterday.
Each time he's done it, I've literally, like, the call is probably delayed because I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, he's all right.
Jerkson took a pretty, he had some tough plays last night, too. That one in the corner where he kind of, like, slid into the wall.
How hard is that to make that catch when the ball's coming up on you at full speed and you're running and the ball's landing in between the foul line and the wall? And you're sliding.
That's one of the toughest plays. You typically got to get down early and try to carry enough momentum so that your slide takes you in there. Because if you get down too late, you can run the risk of, you know, getting that ankle caught, banging into the wall at a too high of a speed. One play that I think Fernando made at home before we came, where he kind of slid and he started his slide super early, so the slide kind of took him into the wall a little more gently than it would have. That's how you play that one perfectly. But the difference is there's just not a lot of foul territory where Jerickson is. So, you know, that's a tough play.
Yeah, well, it was a tough night. So, you know, like we said, we're going to turn the page and hopefully get back to if you get the next two games of the series, then last night's not going to matter. But if you don't, then the natives are going to be restless, which is, you know, just the other way it has to go around.
Knowing
here.
Me, I would be the guy who would, like, slide to try to catch the foul ball and then, like, stop before I even get the foul territory.
Just stick it to the grass.
Yeah, and then the ball just drop, like, 3 feet away from me.
Yes, well, you're not there a are professional certain places, left fielder.
There's definitely certain places that you don't go anywhere. Like, you don't get the same type of glide across the grass.
This is a weird question, but as a former outfielder, and when you go into, you know, visiting ballparks, do you have the time to, you know, take a couple of fly balls near the left field corner so that you can get a feel for what that situation is like, Tony?
Oh, yeah.
Or are you
You're not taking any where you're, like, sliding, but, yeah, you definitely take balls.
You take a few,
100%.
You have time to do that before in a new ballpark, huh? A couple hours before the game
You come out early. Yeah. I used to have, you know, whoever our outfield coach was on a place I hadn't played, come out early, hit some balls in the corner so you can see what the ball does ricocheting over there.
Good.
If you had some, like, weird angles, you'd have some balls hit in different spots so you can kind of just get a idea. Now, ultimately, a game is you're never going to be able to simulate how it's going to go down, but for sure, you definitely have time to come out and get used to some of your surroundings that you haven't been involved in.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to break. When we come back, I believe Bernie Wilson will come on and talk with us gentlemen here about who knows what it's going to be about with Bernie.
You could go anywhere.
Yeah, be ready. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 2:36 is the time. Padres and Rockies go at it again here this evening. Game three of a four-game series. 5:40 is the first pitch. Ty Black, a lefty, just up from the minor leagues, will make that first pitch for the Colorado Rockies tonight. Matt Waldron will pitch for the Padres. We were discussing, guys, whether or not the knuckleball will be successful in the thin air. Now, of course, we don't know. Let's see what happens with Matt Waldron. But our colleague, Mr. Elston, Craig Elston, chimed in saying that he recalls Tom Candiotti, the knuckleballing Dodger right-hander, getting blasted every time he ever pitched at Coors Field.
Great.
And he said that it was so bad, according to Craig, he said it was so bad that the Dodgers used to rearrange their rotation so that Candiotti would not have to pitch in Denver. Now, having said that, he also pitched in an era when the Rockies had some guys who could hit, which is a little different from the Rocky lineup these days. So
yeah. I don't know
that this necessarily guarantees a bad outing for Matt Waldron, but maybe it's a heads up.
Chris, you told me the Rockies were never going to score again, and they scored seven runs.
Got a bunch. You know, they got some unearned runs, and I think that Michael King would be the first to tell you he made a mistake, and Brendan Rodgers took advantage of it. You still got to hit the ball over the fence, but an 0-2. Fastball is not supposed to be laid, in their letter high down the middle of the plate. And he knows that. It didn't go where he wanted. I think if he executes that pitch, Brendan Rodgers probably strikes out and the inning's over. So, anyway, give the Rockies their due. They got to win. I don't expect it to happen again tonight. And hopefully that will be how things turn out here. Bernie Wilson, longtime sports writer from the Associated Press, one of my favorite guys on the beat here in San Diego. Been doing Padre baseball for almost as long as I. Bernie, when did you first crack the press box at old Jack Murphy Stadium covering Padres?
Crack the code, yeah. Bros, on opening day of 1991.
91. Really?
When T. Gwynn Jr.'s dad was swinging the lumber heading into the second half of his career.
That's 33 years and counting.
Yes, it is.
If I'm not mistaken, you've presided over a lot of championships in that time, huh, Bern?
there's a couple of lines that, we're judicious about using, but I guess I might as well throw it out. I think what you're saying is that the four of us have as many World Series rings as they do, right?
True that. I mean, we're not talking only Padres. I mean, it's been a drought.
We still have as many Super Bowl rings as the NFL team that used to play here.
Yes, we do.
But Chris Marlowe has us all beat. He has a national championship. To give your Aztecs some credit.
1975, men's volleyball.
I think it was 73, bro.
Okay.
Man, we got the bearer of misinformation in studio here.
Do you want me to look it up and potentially...
No, I don't.
No, it is 1973 host? Because I wrote about it last year when your text made it to the Final Four.
Ah,
it
very good.
Count the there number of championships SDSU has on one finger.
Bernie.
Let me get your assessment of this 2024 version of the Padres here as we almost are through about the first month of season for this team.
My assessment, Junior, is the hotshot rookie center fielder seems to be a keeper. He is fun to watch. In fact, Sunday he swooped in for a ball that could have been Tatis's very effortlessly. And seems to be a, like I said, a keeper. Cease pitching well. And then Tatis's cleats are otherworldly. They're worth paying attention to. But other than that, after last year, I'm just going to say that the burden of proof is on them. Mm. After everything that happened in the clubhouse, in the front office, the burden of proof on what kind of team this is, it's on them. And if they, I guess we'll find out on the first day of the playoffs whether they're in the playoffs. How's that for a a condensed version of things down at the ball yard.
Fair enough.
Seems pretty honest appraisal of things. Having hung around, though, this group, you know, as you do, Associated Press sports writer Bernie Wilson, our guest, what is your vibe with this team? I'm not talking wins and losses. I'm talking more just the vibe in the clubhouse. Does this team have a different feel to, you know, because you talked about, you know, how last year didn't work out on or off the field. Do you get a sense that this year has a better chance of working?
Again, Chris, to be determined. I mean, remember a year ago, everybody was still, you know, in the parade, World Series incoming mode. And it was toward around this time, toward the end of April, that things started souring and fingers started to be pointed, including by some people on the outside. And rumors and innuendo weren't real heavy. But I think so far the vibe's good. I mean, you know, going back to Jackson Merrill, he seems very composed. I guess he's 21 now. Started the season as a 20-year-old, but he seems very composed. But, you know, you just can't tell. We're around him for 45 minutes to an hour before the game, and then maybe 20 minutes after the game. All seems well. But, again, as Boach would say, there's a lot of ball still to be played, and I'm just going to let, you know, so let's just say the early report card is, the vibing is good, okay, but is it really early? Is there such a thing as early? You know, this team could be in first place in the division if it had played better while the Dodgers were in their mini free fall last week. So I'm going to go ahead and throw that one out there. How's that for, you know, Captain calls it like he sees it. So, you know, again, last year was just such a vibe killer toward the end, but I'm just not willing to, you know, profess anything or, you know, declare anything with this team other than so far so good.
All right, you've made it pretty evident that you're going to hold pat on in terms of the Padres, so I'm going to shift gears a little bit. The other exciting sports team, at least coming into this year, is the Aztecs football team. They had their weekend last week that sounded like it went pretty well. I mean, what's your take on the excitement of with the football, the Aztec football team?
Seems to be about 100% higher than it was at the end of last year.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, you don't ever want to see anybody get fired or pushed out, but it was clearly time for Hope to go, even though, you know, when they put out the press release saying he was retiring, it's like, yeah, right. How many guys retire with 3 years on their contracts? It's like the baseball coach over there retired with 3 years on his contract. But it was, regardless of semantics, it was a badly needed change. I mean, that, again, you hate to see it, people lose jobs and it affects families. But they got, you know, a 2-year-old stadium that they have a lot of seats to fill.
Yeah.
And so, you know, let's, again, we'll see what happens if this, you know, the, when you come in and assign a nickname to an offense, it better live up to it, right? The Aztec Fast. I think, you know what, fellas, you put the nickname on it and the rest of us will be the judges of whether it is going to be Aztec Fast or not. So, but again, you know, we'll give them, you know, give them at least the opener before everybody starts whining. But don't they open against Texas A&M Commerce or something like that?
Yes. Scraby thought it was Texas A&M for a while.
I think everybody did until they saw hyphen Commerce.
They saw the hyphen, yes.
Let me just tell you, and I told Hoke this back when he was still ball coaching out there, and I've told J.D. Wicker, there's no way the Aztecs want a piece of my Idaho Vandals.
Yes, you know, your Vandals.
That's why they scheduled Idaho State the last 2 years, Idaho.
You know, I did a football game with Mr. Leitner at Moscow, Idaho.
The Kibbe Dome.
The Kibbe Dome many years ago with Ryan Lindley at quarterback. And God forbid Idaho did win that game.
By 14 points.
Yes, I couldn't talk to you for a few years. Bernie Wilson.
Clearly Bernie remembers.
Yes, he
well.
Remembers. Oh. He remembers.
Yeah, I let Hope remember that, too. So, yeah. But again, it seems like they've changed the culture. Well, who knows if anybody changes the culture. But, again, Chris, you used the word vibe on the clubhouse. They've changed the vibe out there at the Snapdragon. So, you know, good luck to them. And, you know, who wouldn't want another Mountain West championship, right?
21, I think they're still shooting for over there. Bernie Wilson is with us. Hey, Bernie, is San Diego, in your mind, a good sports town? I'm talking about from the fans' perspective. We seem like we have to defend ourselves here in San Diego, that we're good fans, we love our team, we care about our team, we support our team. Where do you honestly rank us when you look around the country at other fans?
I don't know about an actual ranking. Let's start with the bad. The trophy case is empty. But to use your word vibe, because vibing is a good word, there is no more fire. There's no more fired up places to be on game day, game night than Petco Park or Viejas Arena.
Yeah.
So credit to the fans. They turn out. They spend a lot of money to see the product. And a lot of money to buy beer. But, you know, the place, Petco has been jumping the last 2 years, full credit to the fans. Let's give credit where credit's due. You know, these fans want to see a championship, and they're willing to pay the price. And the same with Viejas Arena. It had sort of, Viejas, it seemed like it fell off a little bit, but it's back to, you know, you better, here's how I judge things. You better be in the parking structure across from Viejas a little before an hour before tip off, because you got the boosters backing into their parking spots, and that's
there you go, out. Tony. Right? Tony Gwynn Jr. is one of those guys who backs in. We have that discussion.
See, we got to have words, bro. And Matt, didn't you post something about people backing in?
Yes, I did over the weekend.
Okay, yeah, and
Bernie, I should have known you didn't like people who backed into their spots.
I appreciate that.
The boosters are backing in their parking spaces.
That's,
I love it.
That's why you have to get there. You know, I usually try to shoot for about an hour and a half before tip-off. That way you don't have to wait for boosters backing in. And you can tell the Aztecs have it in the bag when the great rush to the parking structure starts with 2 minutes on the clock.
Yes, people do need to get out. It's a tough place to get out of.
Oh, it's a horrible place.
It is. But I'm glad that they have that problem, because for many years they didn't have that problem. So
right, it's a first world problem. So from that perspective, it is a good sports city. And let's throw soccer into the mix too. The Wave.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a lot of games, but there's a vibe out there. When the big European clubs come in, there's a vibe. I did the what was it, Man U and
Wrexham.
And Wrexham. I think that's still the biggest crowd at the Snappy. It was for a friendly soccer in which Super Paul Mullen was injured, and a hush fell over the place about 11 minutes in. Do you guys know who Super Paul Mullen is?
I'd love to say that I do, but I'm going to have to.
Okay, he's the striker for Wrexham.
Okay.
So anyway, that was a great series. But no, I mean, there can be good vibe. It's just the, you know, the teams have to do a better job on starting to fill the trophy case.
Yeah. So that was the bad was the trophy case, but that was, you just laid out the good there for us.
And look, there's no better place. You know, for...
All right, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. 2:36 is the time. Padres and Rockies go at it again here this evening. Game 3 of a 4-game series. 5:40 is the first pitch. Ty Black, a lefty, just up from the minor leagues, will make that first pitch for the Colorado Rockies tonight. Matt Waldron will pitch for the Padres. We were discussing, guys, whether or not the knuckleball will be successful in the thin air. Now, of course, we don't know. Let's see what happens with Matt Waldron. But our colleague, Mr. Elston, Craig Elston, chimed in saying that he recalls Tom Candiotti, the knuckleballing Dodger right-hander, getting blasted every time he ever pitched at Coors Field.
Great.
And he said that it was so bad, According to Craig, he said it was so bad that the Dodgers used to rearrange their rotation so that Candiotti would not have to pitch in Denver. Now, having said that, he also pitched in an era when the Rockies had some guys who could hit, which is a little different from the Rocky lineup these days. So
yeah. I don't know,
I don't know that this necessarily guarantees a bad outing for Matt Waldron, but maybe it's a, you know, a heads up.
Chris, you told me the Rockies were never going to score again, and they scored seven runs.
Well, they got a bunch, you know, they got some unearned runs, and I think that, you know, Michael King would be the first to tell you he made a mistake, and Brendan Rodgers took advantage of it. You still got to hit the ball over the fence, but an 0-2, you know, fastball is not supposed to be laid, you know, in their letter high down the middle of the plate, and he knows that. It didn't go where he wanted. I think if he executes that pitch, Brendan Rodgers probably strikes out and the inning's over. So, anyway, yeah, give the Rockies their due. They got a win. I don't expect it to happen again tonight. And hopefully that will be how things turn out here. Bernie Wilson, longtime sports writer from the Associated Press, one of my favorite guys on the beat here in San Diego. Been doing Padre baseball for almost as long as I. Bernie, when did you first crack the press box at old Jack Murphy Stadium covering Padres?
Crack the code, yeah. Bros, on opening day of 1991.
91? Really?
When T. Gwynn Jr.'s dad was swinging the lumber heading into the second half of his career.
That's 33 years and counting.
Yes, it is.
If I'm not mistaken, you've presided over a lot of championships in that time, huh, Bern?
You know, there's a couple of lines that you know, we're judicious about using, but I guess I might as well throw it out. I think what you're saying is the four of us have as many World Series rings as they do, right?
True that. True that. I mean, we're not talking only Padres. I mean, it's been a drought.
We still have as many Super Bowl rings as the NFL team that used to play here.
Yes, we do.
So, but Chris Marlowe has us all beat. He has a national championship. To give your Aztec some credit.
1975, men's volleyball.
Three.
73.
I think it was 73, bro.
Okay.
Man, we got the bearer of misinformation in studio here.
Do you want me to look it up and potentially...
No, I don't.
You know,
no, it is 1973 because I wrote about it last year when your text made it to the Final Four.
Ah,
but
very good.
Count the there number of championships SDSU has on one finger.
Bern, let me get your assessment of this 2024 version of the Padres here as we almost are through about the first month of season for this team.
My assessment, Junior, is the hotshot rookie center fielder seems to be a keeper. He is fun to watch. In fact, Sunday he swooped in for a ball that could have been Tatis's, very effortlessly, you know, and seems to be a, you know, like I said, a keeper. Cease pitching well, and then Tatis's cleats are otherworldly. They're worth paying attention to. But other than that, after last year, I'm just going to say that the burden of proof is on them. Mm. You know, after everything that happened in the clubhouse, in the front office, you know, the burden of proof on what kind of team this is, it's on them. And if they, I guess we'll find out on the first day of the playoffs whether they're in the playoffs. How's that for a condensed version of things down at the ball yard?
Fair enough. Seems
pretty honest appraisal of things. Having hung around, though, this group, you know, as you do, Associated Press sports writer Bernie Wilson, our guest. What is your vibe with this team? I'm not talking wins and losses. I'm talking more just the vibe in the clubhouse. Does this team have a different feel to, you know, because you talked about, you know, how last year didn't work out on or off the field. Do you get a sense that this year has a better chance of working?
Again, Chris, to be determined. I mean, remember a year ago, everybody was still, you know, in the parade, World Series incoming mode. And it was toward around this time, toward the end of April, that things started souring and fingers started to be pointed, including by some people on the outside. And rumors and innuendo weren't real heavy. But I think so far the vibe's good. I mean, you know, going back to Jackson Merrill, he seems very composed. I guess he's 21 now. Started the season as a 20-year-old, but he seems very composed. But, you know, you just can't tell. We're around him for 45 minutes to an hour before the game, and then maybe 20 minutes after the game. All seems well. But, again, as Boach would say, there's a lot of ball still to be played, and I'm just going to let, you know, so let's just say the early report card is, the vibing is good, okay, but is it really early? Is there such a thing as early? You know, this team could be in first place in the division if it had played better while the Dodgers were in their mini free fall last week. So I'm going to go ahead and throw that one out there. How's that for, you know, Captain calls it like he sees it. So, you know, again, last year was just, such a vibe killer toward the end, but I'm just not willing to, you know, profess anything or, you know, declare anything with this team other than so far so good.
All right, you've made it pretty evident that you're going to hold pat on in terms of the Padres, so I'm going to shift gears a little bit. The other exciting sports team, at least coming into this year, is the Aztecs football team. They had their weekend last week that sounded like it went pretty well. I mean, what's your take on the excitement of with the Aztec football team?
Seems to be about 100% higher than it was at the end of last year.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, you don't ever want to see anybody get fired or pushed out, but it was clearly time for Hope to go, even though, you know, when they put out the press release saying he was retiring, it's like, yeah, right. How many guys retire with 3 years on their contracts? It's like the baseball coach over there retired with 3 years on his contract. But it was, regardless of semantics, it was a badly needed change. I mean, that, again, you hate to see people lose jobs and it affects families. But they got, you know, a 2-year-old stadium that they have a lot of seats to fill.
Yeah.
And so, you know, let's, again, we'll see what happens if this, you know, that when you come in and assign a nickname to an offense, it better live up to it, right? The Aztec Fast. I think, you know what, fellas, you put the nickname on it and the rest of us will be the judges of whether it is going to be Aztec Fast or not. So, but again, you know, we'll give them, you know, give them at least the opener before everybody starts whining. But don't they open against Texas A&M Commerce or something like that?
Yes. Scraby thought it was Texas A&M for a while.
I think everybody did until they saw hyphen Commerce.
They saw the hyphen, yes.
Let me just tell you, and I told Hoke this back when he was still ball coaching out there, and I've told J.D. Wicker, there's no way the Aztecs want a piece of my Idaho Vandals.
Yes, you know, you're Vandals.
That's why they scheduled Idaho State the last 2 years, Idaho.
You know, I did a football game with Mr. Leitner at Moscow, Idaho.
The Kibbe Dome.
The Kibbe Dome many years ago with Ryan Lindley at quarterback. And God forbid Idaho did win that game.
By 14 points.
Yes, I couldn't talk to you for a few years. Bernie Wilson.
Clearly Bernie remembers.
Yes, he
well.
Remembers. Oh. He remembers.
Hey, I let Hope remember that, too. So, yeah. But again, it seems like they've changed the culture. Well, who knows if anybody changes the culture. But, again, Chris, you used the word vibe on the clubhouse. They've changed the vibe out there at the Snapdragon. So, you know, good luck to them. And, you know, who wouldn't want another Mountain West championship, right?
21, I think they're still shooting for over there. Bernie Wilson is with us. Hey, Bernie, is San Diego, in your mind, a good sports town? I'm talking about from the fans' perspective. We seem like we have to defend ourselves here. in San Diego, that we're good fans, we love our team, we care about our team, we support our team. Where do you honestly rank us when you look around the country at other fans?
I don't know about an actual ranking. Let's start with the bad. The trophy case is empty. But to use your word vibe, because vibing is a good word, there is no more fire. There's no more fired up places to be on game day, game night than Petco Park or Viejas Arena.
Yeah.
So credit to the fans. They turn out. They spend a lot of money to see the product. And a lot of money to buy beer. But, you know, the place, Petco has been jumping the last 2 years. Full credit to the fans. Let's give credit where credit's due. You know, these fans want to see a championship, and they're willing to pay the price. And the same with Viejas Arena. It had sort of, Viejas, it seemed like it fell off a little bit, but it's back to, you know, you better, here's how I judge things. You better be in the parking structure across from Viejas a little before an hour before tip off, because you got the boosters backing into their parking spots, and that's
there you go, Tony. Right? Tony Gwynn Jr. is one of those guys who backs in. We have that discussion.
See, we got to have words, bro. And Matt, didn't you post something about people backing in?
Yes, I did over the weekend.
Okay, yeah, and
Bernie, I should have known you didn't like people who backed into their spots.
I appreciate that.
The boosters are backing in their parking spaces. I love it.
That's why you have to get there. You know, I usually try to shoot for about an hour and a half before tip-off. That way you don't have to wait for boosters backing in. And you can tell the Aztecs have it in the bag when the great rush to the parking structure starts with 2 minutes on the clock.
Yes, people do need to get out. It's a tough place to get out of.
Oh, it's a horrible place.
It is. But I'm glad that they have that problem, because for many years they didn't have that problem. So
right, it's a first world problem. So from that perspective, it is a good sports city. And let's throw soccer into the mix too. The Wave.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a lot of games, but there's a vibe out there. When the big European clubs come in, there's a vibe. I did the what was it, Man U and
Wrexham.
And Wrexham. I think that's still the biggest crowd at the Snappy. It was for a friendly soccer in which Super Paul Mullen was injured, and a hush fell over the place about 11 minutes in. Do you guys know who Super Paul Mullen is?
I'd love to say that I do, I'm going to have to.
Okay, he's the striker for Wrexham.
Okay.
So anyway, that was a great series. But, no, I mean, there can be good vibe. It's just the teams have to do a better job on starting to fill the trophy case.
Yeah. So the bad was the trophy case, but that was, you just laid out the good there for us.
And look, there's no better place. For sunny in 72. I mean, the ballpark, granted, at night sometimes it dips down to 68 and it gets dark, but they do have light, so that's good. Sometimes, yeah, it dips a little bit. But no, it is from that perspective, it's a great town, and the whole gas lamp vibe, you just can't beat it.
Do you feel like, go ahead, Tony.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. That was you.
Oh, that was
no,
you.
I went past the other two SoCal ball yards on Saturday. The Big A sits out in the middle of a massive parking lot, as does Dodger Stadium, and there's just no vibe around it. But again, kudos to the Morris Lucchino team and Larry, rest in peace, for calling that one on moving downtown. It's just, the All-Star game in 2016 remains the benchmark for absolute bonkers event downtown. And it just, imagine if they ever do get a World Series here. It'll be absolutely insane.
We can think it through, and it does sound like it'll be pretty cool. Bernie, you're the man. I hope when they get to the World Series, you get to cover it, because nobody's had to put up with longer baseball nights than you have. And we didn't even get into the Chargers on this conversation, or the ex-Chargers. But
They've only got a couple years before my time has expired, and I move off into the retired world. So Andale, muchachos.
Let's make it happen before we lose Bernie to retirement.
Yeah, thank you, Bernie. You know, you bet, guys. We'll see you at the Ball Yard on Friday night.
Thanks, Bernie. Nah, Bernie Wilson's funny, man. He's just funny. I mean, he comes at it from a little different angle, but he's funny. And you know what?
I should have known Bernie was going to have a problem with us folks who like to back into our spots.
See that? Yeah, he's an old person on the lawn, just like I am,
well,
Tony.
I mean, if we're going to go back to the backing in thing again, I have to say, because I got a lot of hate on YouTube of all places, but I have to say that the parking garage is a candidate for backing in. The problem is, parking garages are extremely hard to back in because of the spaces being so tight. That was my problem. So if you can do it, and you could do it in one go, I'm cool with that. But if you're holding up traffic for 2 minutes, that's ridiculous.
That's 2 minutes you're not going to get back, Scrabby.
And again, it's not about me. I had a lot of people saying, well, you're not the only person that lives in this world.
What they said to you, Scrabby?
Yes, they did.
Well, but you can say the same thing to the person backing in.
Exactly.
I'm standing up for you here, Scrib.
I also wasn't the only person waiting. I was actually two cars back, and then one guy was so angry that he had to, like, screech around.
Scrabby likes to add this little extra piece to it. He has no idea if my man was angry. He did go around at a faster pace, but I don't know that he was angry.
He was like,
peeling out in the parking garage.
I'm just waiting until the guy who I filmed doing that,
listen,
like, contacts
by the way,
me.
If it takes somebody 2 minutes to do it, they probably shouldn't be backing in.
Thank you.
That's all I'm saying.
That's a fair point. And I think you and Scrabby are on the same
page
there.
Not everybody is a backer-inner. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right. Scrabby's saying the same thing. If you can back in, you know, we'll wait the 45 seconds while you do it. But
what I know about what I know about Scrabby is, although he's saying that, the moment he has to stop for even 15 seconds for somebody to finish, he's rolling his eyes and mumbling to himself about, God, this backing up person, even though it's only taking 30 seconds at the most.
Oh, I've seen, every time I see a backer-upper, I go, Tony! Because you're the one who started this whole thing, and you got people
I was the one who brought it up about 6 months ago. I never thought that this would carry a conversation for half a year.
I still get videos of people backing into their spots. That's crazy to me.
I cannot take credit for the nation backing up into their parking lot spots. I'm just one of those people. I didn't start it, though.
I will say, I think Tony's a good enough driver to back in once. Like, he doesn't have to do the 8-point turn.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
No, you're a one-shot guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm willing to come along and say that if you can back in on the first try, have at it. As soon as you got to go to the second try, you got to leave the area and let me take your parking spot.
Some people do get frustrated or get anxious, and they end up just taking off.
Because they know the pressure's on. All eyes are under me. Oh, I'm already holding up the... We feel it. We feel your anger, your annoyance. We feel it.
Can I also say something on the chat? Aliva says, Scrabby, there's a reason why people prefer to back up. It's for emergency purposes if we need to escape. I have never needed to escape in my life! Can we stop with that excuse? We're not being chased by serial killers, okay?
Hey, you never know, Scrabe. You never know, buddy.
Boy Scout motto, be prepared.
You know what I'll do when I'm in that?
Hey, that's right, Chris. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready there, son.
Next time I'm just going to run to my car, make sure that no one's chasing me. Just ridiculous.
Daily Gambit, among other things, still to come on Gwen and Chris.